If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.
Top of the morning, afternoon, and evening, folks. It's Captain Liam here. And today's Captain's Chat, we're honored Davide from RENA. RENA is a classification society, but it's much more than that. And it really took me by surprise, Davide, when I went onto the website and I saw how big the company is and how many new projects you have, not just in the yachting sector. So, Davide, how are you today?
Liam, first of all, thank you very much for the introduction. Thank you for inviting me to this chat. It's a very pleasure and honor for me to be here today with you and got the opportunity, of course, to introduce myself at your chat and also RENA as well. As I said before, we moved here with my wife on February of last year from Spain. And let's say this year, a few months more, the experience has been great with the people here in US and with the profession as well.
Yeah, you've traveled a lot, we talked about. We spoke beside each other. We had a nice coffee, a good Italian coffee, correct? Had a good Italian coffee in a French cafe at Palm Beach Boat Show. And then we spoke on a panel in the USSA summit there in Palm Beach Boat Show. And there was myself, yourself, Lloyd's, ABS, Reedon Yacht Consulting as well. And one of the big takeaways from me was that people forget that where the class is a client of the vessel and the class is there to assist the vessel at all times. What, is that your kind of summary of the relationship the class and the vessel have, or what's your take on it? Because that's important to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I could speak all day long about this because in the last 11 years with RENA, I collect so much experience about opinion and comments relevant to this aspect of the relationship between the classification society and the company and the captain and so on. What I can say for sure, the people, not everyone in this industry, in the yachting industry, really understood until now what is the real position of the classification society. They are looking at us more or less like all is so perfect control, but it is not like this. You should look at least at RENA as a partner for your vessel, for your company. And our position, our scope is to be sure that your vessel is, first of all, in compliance with the regulation that apply to your vessel, of course, for that specific trading that you are intended for. And second of all, that we are in charge to be sure that your vessel during the operation is on the highest safety level and in compliance also with all the requirements and the rules for the aspect of the environmental as well.
Yeah. I think people forget, though, like, you know, a lot of people see class, what you're saying, as the police. Like, as an active captain, I know our survey is coming up in May, and I know the chief officer and chief, you know, engineer are both kind of going, again, you know, and I'm like, it's a happy thing. It's a good thing. The doctor's coming. The doctor's going to work with us to make sure we're ready for the, you know, we address all issues. But also, more importantly for me, it's what's the latest technology? What's the latest requirements? Because when class bring in a new issue or a new requirement, it's because of an incident that happened. And that's what I get excited about. Like, you know, the auto shut off on the fuel day tanks or, you know, a shut off valve or a drip sample on the fuel day tanks. These are little items that do cost a lot of time and money for the vessels, but it's because of a safety-related issue.
Yeah, I mean, the people think that we invent rules or requirements, but it is just like this. As you said, if there is a shut-off valve on the tanks, on the fuel tanks, it's not just because of the rules and that we would like that there is this additional cost, additional requirements for you. is something that is a technology that is necessary for the safety on board. So even if you are not under classification requirements and inspection, I mean, the safety valve for the fuel tanks are still necessary. So it's not that depending on the classification or not of your vessel, you will put or not the safety valve on board of your vessel. You will put the safety valve on board of your vessel because it is intrinsically safety and is necessary for the safety of your vessel and especially for the people that are on board. So our position is just to be sure that the safety valve installed on board, speaking just for this specific item, that of course this specific item is working in good condition and properly. So we are just, let's say, following up a normal and a common safety of the vessel itself.
Yeah, it's a standard. It's not like class are making us do this. This is all that's been implemented and class are assisting us to understand how to implement it. Would that be correct?
What you say always is important to understand the reason that are behind the rules. It's not just that the people should look to the rules as it is. You should be a little bit more critical about the aspect of the rules and ask to yourself why the classification society or any, let's say, notification body and regulation body is asking for that specific requirement. Because the most important is not just the rules, of course they're important, but it's also important what is behind the rules itself and the reason that to bring to develop that specific requirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you take, because you're very knowledgeable about this and I appreciate it, I want you to go a little bit bigger picture with class. You mentioned class had all classes have a part of a governing body, correct?
Yes.
And what's that called?
What do you will?
The governing body. What's the actual governing body called?
And all the classes are part of.
Yeah, is the IAS, International Association of Classification Society Association. There is an association that is bringing all together the most available classification society and that are all, let's say, they are sharing a certain level of standards and recognition between them, which are stipulated and regulated by the procedure. Of course, as we had the opportunity to speak during our coffee and during our panel, for instance, there is one of the main topic, which is the transfer of a class, which is regulated by the IACS procedure PR1A, and is a common procedure which is regulating the transfer of the classification certification between the vessels.
Yeah.
The people think that this is something extremely hard to do, is very difficult to change class and so on. And I will tell you that it's not like this. Of course, there are certain moments that are, let's say, more easy to change class. For instance, when you have in the window of the periodical survey, in my opinion, is the best moment because it's not putting additional operations and cost on the vessel and the structure. And but let's say the process for changing the class is very smooth. It's done in the proper way.
Yeah, so the summary of it is people forget that we do have the ability and owners and brokers also need to understand that we can change class. Now, people are going to not want to hear that, but that's the business I'm in. You know, as a captain's chap, I like being open and transparent with all options. Some decisions are good, some decisions are bad, but we need to weigh the decisions. So what's the benefit of changing class?
I mean, the benefit of changing class can be several. First of all, because there is some classification society that are more focused on specific segment, like RINA. RINA, for instance, we have a very long tradition for the yachting because, of course, the yachting is something that was mainly developed in Italy by the cooperation, the collaboration with the local shipyards that are well recognized worldwide. I don't want to say any specific name about the shipyards, but to not promote anyone, but thank God to our local tradition, Italy, Rina had the capability and the possibility to develop the very specific and deep knowledge about the yachting industry. So, in my opinion, changing the class to Rina can for sure bring additional value to your vessel, because it is one of the highest classification society in the yachting industry. And as well, during the operation of your vessel, you can be supported in the proper way by a specific and very knowledgeable team.
Yeah. So in summarizing that, the reason we'd change class is because the location of the vessel and the specificity of the class. And when I put that in a yachting captain's and engineer's language, that means that some of our class surveyors aren't familiar with yachting. And that creates a lot of confusion for us as operators, because they're assuming that we can open every tank. And we can open every tank, but some of the tanks to open are going to cost us a lot of time and a lot of money to protect the area to open them correctly. So we try and prepare for that. Whereas Rena would understand that and it'd give us enough notice to prepare to open the tanks. Does that make it a little bit an operator's perspective?
Such a very important point, and which is, of course, the survey for your vessel. And this is a very, you are very sensitive to this aspect, because as you are a captain of a very important yacht as well, and you know how much is important to trust the person that has carried out the survey on board of your vessel.
Yeah.
And to have a very good cooperation between each parties in order to be sure that the vessel is not facing problem, delay, and everything should be planned in the proper way to have a smooth operation and survey on board. This is very important for the yachts and for the operation of the yachts. Additionally, I will say that at Rina, for instance, we have also a dedicated team for yachting. So we have a specific plan approval, which is, of course, our engineering center, that we are used to call the yachting plan approval. So we have specific engineers that are dedicated for the reviewing and the appraisal of the drawings relevant to the yachting. And this is very important, because the sensibility that they have developed in the years in the reviewing and approved drawings for the yachting is something completely different to the sensibility that can have an engineer that used to work with the ships, cargo ships, cruise ships. We are talking about completely of two different market and industry. So merging and mixing the two industries is something that, in my opinion, is not to bring you to a proper and a deep expertise.
Yeah. And for example, ABS, and we don't want to say negatives about any class, because every class has their niche. You know what I mean? But ABS is American Bureau of Shipping, and they do a fantastic job. And being Umbrella based in Seattle, we have a good opportunity to work with them. But some other areas I travel to, I have some challenges, and we have to fly in, fly out. Tell us about Rena, because you've got offices. I mean, you mentioned a great kind of expansion of the company that's recently happened, and that's important for us to know.
Yeah, as you said, yes, but also our classification society, they are doing great. And I will never say something bad about our competitors, because we are a player of the same market, of the same game. I prefer more to focus on what we are good at Rena and what we are better than the other one. So I prefer to highlight this aspect. I don't like to be in good position comparing to the bad position of our competitors. We know that we are very good at Rena. We have a very long tradition. We are one of the oldest classification society. Rena today, Rena is not just the classification society, but it is a group. Rena is a classification society born in 1861, which was also the same date of foundation of the Italian Republic. And then Rena is an acronym of Registro Italiano Navale. It was an acronym. Today is not anymore an acronym, because some years ago, Rena, by introduction of some private capitals, became a group, and by the acquisition of different companies for strategy of diversification of the business, acquired in the years different companies and create different business units. Today, Reina is, as I said before, is a group and mainly is composed by six business units, which are real estate, energy industry, infrastructures, maritime. Of course, the classification society belong to the maritime business unit. And also another aspect very important and very interesting is that some years ago, Reina created a completely independent entity named the Reina Marine Consulting. And this entity is delivering consultancy and engineering services through the different business units. Of course, when they are delivering the services on the maritime industry, we are used to call it Reina Marine Consulting.
Yes.
Now, last year, we acquired a company, design company in Finland that has also office in the US, especially in Fort Lauderdale and Seattle. The name of this company is Forship. And since they are very well recognized in the industry of the cruise ships and the luxury vessels, the idea of our CEO, our top management, is to keep at least for Reina Marine Consulting the name of Forship for branding. So today, let's say we are worldwide almost 7,000 employees. We have offices in more than 70 countries. And we are expanding a lot. Since I'm in Reina, since 11 years, I saw a growing very fast and changing a lot our company. I feel very proud to be part of Reina. Not only as Italian, of course, but especially because you can feel that are part of a project, a long-term project. Everyone is bringing something to the group and you feel that you are making your part.
Fantastic. And I think that's different to most classification societies. Like, I think if people kind of go back and listen to what you said, the big global approach to the solution is, and the six different branches and Forship, I think that's different to most classification societies, correct? Most are traditionally aligned with just being a classification society, but you're providing, you know, a bigger structure with real estate. You're providing research and development. You're providing consulting. So you really have the internal tools to answer all the questions the client has.
Yeah, absolutely. For instance, sometimes we have been approached by client. Of course, when I say client, I mean vessel that are classified with Reina, and they are requesting our support by our consultancy division, I don't know, for work like the preparation and calculation of a small refitting. So we are preparing all the structural plans, everything that is necessary to be approved and to be reviewed by the class, of course, to carry out that specific job. Or I don't know, of course, if there is any variation and deviation of the weight on board. I don't know if it is necessary to carry out a new stability experiment and, of course, to prepare a new stability manual. And also, for this aspect and for this purpose, Reina Marine Consulting most of the time is involved for these jobs. But the nice and interesting part is that today, not only vessels with the Reina class are using the Reina Marine Consulting. There are vessels also with other classification society that are using the service provided by Reina Marine Consulting, by Forship, across its years. And this is because they are recognizing in Reina Consultancy Division a reliable partner and very knowledgeable partner.
Yeah, very much so. Let's talk nuts and bolts, because you're an active surveyor in Amsterdam, in Holland? What's that?
In Rotterdam. I started as in Rotterdam, correct. I was based there in Rotterdam. I started in 2015 and I started my career as a yachting marine surveyor. So I was mainly focused on the supervision of the yachting during construction. I had several projects around the Netherlands. This gave me also the opportunity. I was very young, actually, give me also the opportunity to travel in many places of the Netherlands, discover the country, which is beautiful. I yet have my part of my heart. I love the Netherlands. And also I had the opportunity to collaborate with very important shipyard like the Van der Balk or Friendship, Max Shipyards, and other there, them and the shipyards as well. We had so many projects there. Was an amazing moment for me. I learned a lot there, and also I had the opportunity to build a very strong relationship with the guy of the shipyards, of some shipyard. And today we are still in contact, despite many, I left the Netherlands many years ago. And this is, let's say, the proof that our relation was not just, let's say, a working relation, but was a very strong and partnership. So this was the key of the success that we had all together there.
Yeah. So when you were a surveyor for yachts on new build or pre-construction or post-construction, how do you see yacht crews' roles? What would you like to tell captains and engineers how to make their jobs easier for class? And that's a tough question. You know, how to make their jobs easier for class, which means how to be more prepared, how to look for things ahead, you know, so they're ready for you.
No, this is a very good and very interesting question. And it's something that should be asked more and more, in my opinion, in order to stabilize the crew on board, the captains worldwide. Because it seems like that there is a disconnect between the crew on board, the class, and of course, also some yachting management company. First of all, as we had already the opportunity to discuss last time, I suggest to print and to have on board available all the applicable rules for your yachts.
People forget we have an opening meeting, you know, so when surveyors join the boat, you know, this is for the audience, we have an opening meeting. And that opening meeting is captain, chief officer, chief engineer, whoever other the relative parties, project manager, whoever the relative parties. And it's really important, that meeting, because it develops the relationship, you know. Is this going to go smoothly? What are our expectations?
They're right.
Yes. Yeah. So have the good coffee, have the Italian coffee.
Correct. The Italian one is even better. But just coffee is okay. Yeah. And I was saying before, the first important point is to have available on board for the crew the rules. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you don't know the rules of your game, you cannot play that game.
Yeah.
So you need to have the rules available. Second is well in advance, plan in advance the survey. Means that you have, of course, especially for the periodical survey, you have the anniversary date, and for each anniversary date, you have a window, which is normally for the annual survey from 3 months before to 3 months later, the anniversary date, the window survey. So before to enter in this window survey, I always suggest to the captain, the crew on board, to get in contact with the local surveyor where the survey will be carried out in order to establish contact with the surveyor in charge for the survey and also to clarify the scope of your survey. This approach will allow you to have a smoother operation, a very good planning and preparation for the survey and avoid any surprise. So you will record, you will get all the information from the local surveyor. Then you can work on, you can do your homework and prepare your best in the best way for the coming survey. So I will say that the key of everything, the best advice and suggestion that I'm giving to the crew and the captain is the communication. The communication, I think that is always the key of everything. Yes. Also what we are doing today here with you, this is the proof that the communication is the key to everything.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. When you reached, we were on the panel together, we were in an email chain, and you reached out and said, would you like to have a coffee? I said, I'd love to have a good, let's meet. I'm like, perfect, let's meet. And that's developed a wonderful relationship. And I think people in yachting forget that. And yes, people on yachts, crew, captains, chief officers, we pretend we're in this little island, you know, in this little world of our own. And that's not the case because we're actually supported by so many people. You know what I mean? Payroll companies, insurance brokers, you know, class, flag, all of these people support that little island. And I wish more yachts and captains would kind of open up a bit more and, you know, have a relationship with your insurance surveyor, you know, insurance broker or insurance underwriters. Have a relationship with your class surveyors because it makes your life a bit easier.
Yeah, no, and also I have to admit that, I mean, when we met for the coffee, I discovered it was impressive the experience that you have. I didn't know that you were taking care of this podcast, which is something amazing. I think that was something necessary for the industry. And I support you in this podcast. And I hope that and invite more and more people to join to your podcast because it's the right way to highlight topics and discuss about topics that sometimes we think that are don't need to be discussed and clarified. But I can tell you that many people have a lot of doubts. So, hello. When most of the people say, oh, I have a stupid question, I don't think it exists a stupid question. Every question can be very important, can be worth, and is worth to do the question. But also, I would like to say that the panel that we had the opportunity to participate, the U.S. Super Yacht Forum, the panel was very interesting. And in fact, I thanks all the organization of the Super Yachts, U.S. Super Yachts, because, I mean, finally I found in that panel a very good discussion. It was a very spontaneous discussion. There was interaction between the speakers on the stage, of course, between us, and the people of the audience. And this created, I think, a very productive panel. And this is the way. To address the matter, to address questions, to address technical topics, and to have the opportunity all together to clarify some doubts that we never have the opportunity to clarify all together.
Exactly. So talking about the future, you know, I want to kind of get your take on, and I know it's a tough question, but it's two things, and you can choose which one, AI or nuclear power. Because I went to another panel the following day and it was a discussion about nuclear power and how it's coming and it's being addressed. So what's your kind of, either one, AI or nuclear, where do you see it going in yachting?
Being honest, I see that nuclear is not the answer, but is the necessity.
So... Yeah. Not the answer, it's the necessity. It is the future of propulsion.
From my perspective, nuclear, yes, is absolutely the necessity that we are going towards. Well, there is because, of course, the density of power. There are so many aspects, positive aspects. There is the density of power. There is, of course, the greener aspect of the technology itself. And of course, the integration of this technology with many other technology on board, of course, is a technology that need of the proper process and the proper path. So it was a little bit like we had in the past with the, I don't know, electric propulsion or with the use of LNG on board of the ships.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was still at the university when the first application of the LNG on board of cruise ships. They started the application of LNG propulsion on board of a cruise ship. And my teachers, they were looking at this technology almost like an installation on board of a bomb.
Yeah.
So, but then today, after 20 years, we can say that it's a normal technology. Today is the standard technology almost. And even more, before they were looking to LNG for the cargo ship and for cruise ship as a transition fuel, today is not anymore looking, the people are not looking anymore to this fuel as a transition fuel, but a long-term fuel, maybe most likely to arrive to the nuclear
propulsion. I mean, it was the International Superyacht Society put on a panel the following day. And there was a gentleman, there was two gentlemen up there that actually have built a 1 megawatt unit that produce 2 megawatts of heat that can be used to make water on board, different facilities on board. But the 1 megayacht unit, it's got a lifespan of 20 years before it has to be replaced. And that's amazing. And the other thing is there's no ducting required for main engine propulsion. There's no fuel tanks required. It made it sound so simple. And then I said, what's the biggest concern? And they said, it's the social image. Like, it sells itself in terms of when you look at the numbers, but it's the social.
I would like to add also that we should not think and speak about just one technology, because it depends a lot, and you are captain, you know much better than me, depends a lot on the navigation that your vessel is doing. You cannot have the same operational profile for a vessel of 24 meters and a vessel of, 70, 80 meters, or like yours that is doing so long travel, exploring in the North Polar Arctic, and so on. I mean, the technology should be also linked to the operational profile of the vessel, because maybe the nuclear can be good for long travel, but also other technology less expensive can be also implemented for short voyages as well. Yeah, so it depends a little bit where is the trading area, which is the operational profile of your vessel, and so on.
It was interesting because it kind of explained it as nuclear is also it's a hybrid system. So it's nuclear plus batteries that support the electronics and the propulsion of the whole yacht. So you have a silent yacht, and to have a silent yacht in a place like Alaska for me is like, wow. You know, there's no noise, and the boats are quiet anyway, but you still hear a hum of a generator every now and then. So to have that silence, I think, would be really unique. But it's a big challenge for class, it's a big challenge for the industry, and also socially, it's a big challenge for everyone to understand it.
Yeah, I repeat, absolutely. And having, as you said, of course, having this silent technology on board, silent propulsion, is also a huge additional value for the environmental, especially for an amazing, wonderful place like the Polar Arctic.
And also the, you know, burning fuel is, everyone knows we've done it for a lot of years. It's industrial revolution. It's getting outdated. But I was also thinking of another benefit the other day, the political instability of fuel, of petroleum. Like, we look at what's happening globally in the world now. This is a battle about a lot of to do with petroleum, or the effects of the battle are the rising price of petroleum or gas products. So you take that out of the equation a little bit. Every little bit matters, you know?
Today we are facing very particular moment. The geopolitical scenario is giving a lot of uncertainty to the industry, but all the industry worldwide is pushing more, in my opinion, the necessity to have an alternative to the carbon fossil fuels, because of course today we are depending too much of this fuel, and maybe it can be a boost to develop not just the technology but also the regulation, because as you know, and this is was always like this, the technology is running faster than the regulations. Every technology must be supported by a proper regulation and rules to be implemented. But in my opinion, this geopolitical situation can be just an only boost. I see in the humanity, I learned that we are very resilient.
Yeah.
And for every problem, for every issue, we are always capable to find a very good solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, humans, that's the power of humans. We have the ability to look at both sides or communicate the two sides of the issue and say, nuclear's got positives, what are the negatives? Where that's where, you know, technology like AI, we can't really do that. It's a one-sided relationship. It's just taking data, you know what I mean? So we've talked about RENA, we talked about the overview, the expansiveness of the company. You mentioned 70 countries it's currently in?
Yes.
selling positions, including, I think you have an office in Seattle and Montreal. Is that correct?
Well, as Zervina Marine, today the main office for North America is in Fort Lauderdale. It's in Sarai, close to Fort Lauderdale, Sarai. And is the main office for US. And then the other office in North America for the Marine is Montreal.
Yeah.
Just close to your house.
Exactly.
Then by the acquisition of Warship, we added the other two offices in the US. One is in Fort Lauderdale. And another one is in Seattle, as well for the consultancy engineering part.
Okay. And if you
and then, of course, we have other offices in the US or Chicago and the other part of the US, but in that office, we have other business unit.
Perfect. And your role now with Reno, it's business development manager, correct? Or
yeah. I'm covering today the position as a BDM, Business Developer Manager for North America and Caribbean area, based in Fort Lauderdale. So I'm taking care mainly of the US, Canada, and all the Caribbean islands.
Fantastic. And in your ideal world, who should be calling you now? Who should be emailing you? Would it be captains? Would it be brokers? Would it be yacht management companies? Who would you like your phone to be ringing?
I would like to be contacted by anyone of the maritime and the yachting industry, which is a question or a doubt, because I think that together we can find and develop the proper answer.
Okay, fantastic. So people reach out to you if they've got questions about class, if they've got questions about read. But the biggest...
What I would say to everyone of the industry, whenever you have a question or a doubt, please contact at any time.
Fantastic. I mean, it's really valuable. I think I value our relationship. It started over a nice Italian coffee and it's progressing really well. I think what's important is you're one of the only people I've seen that are very approachable, you know, in that classification area. The other two gentlemen are the same. They're very approachable. And that helps change the narrative of class. They're not the police. They're not there to catch you out and control your boat. They're there to provide the safety standards that we need to keep our crew and our clients safe. So we're in partnership is the correct way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we are not the police at all. Yeah. We are your partner, and we just our main task is to be sure that you are on the stage from the regulation and the operative point of view, to ensure that your commercial activities has not stopped. Yes. They can go ahead without any problems.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But of course, though, this must be the first step is always regarding the safety and the compliance with the rules.
Absolutely. And we get a survey report, and for people who don't know how it works, is we have a list of documents and certificates. And every year we review the documents, we wait for that golden stamp and that golden signature.
And then here you have more reports and more paper.
Yeah, that's the value of the assets we manage, you know. And people say, like, a lot of times when owners and brokers get involved, I'm like, look at all these certificates, the class certificates, the flag certificates. This is showing the vessel is maintained to class. It's maintained to flag compliance. It's a safe.
But a lot, as we had already the opportunity to discuss about this point, so a lot, too much people in the industry are still not considering digital or managing daily works.
Yes.
And digital is, I mean, something that should be, in my opinion, should be something conventional, should be something standard on board. Yeah, because today you have so many papers, so many rules, so many activity to be managed due to the increasing of every day of additional requirements, additional rules and so on that are requiring to bring on board an amount of information and manage an amount of information which is extremely high. And the digital is the right tool that can reduce your load work on board. So I'm still don't understand why the people are not considering digital on board of their vessel to manage their daily works.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And even as, you know, as an older gentleman myself, I look at it like I might not understand it all, like AI or technology or digital applications or integrations, automation. Like I'm not trained in that. I'm trained as a simple captain to try and find way out with the dolphins and bears for the clients. But, you know, it makes your life easier if you can implement it properly and trust it, you know?
Oh, and just if you think that most of the times the crew, since, of course, as we said before, there is this increasing amount of information and documentation to be kept on board, sometimes due to this amount of information, when the day of the survey or the post-day control comes, due to the missing of some documents or some certificate, they are requesting, I don't know, additional survey, which means additional cost. And this is every year. So what I say always, if you every year are facing additional cost due to the management of this information, of the services and so on, why don't invest this money, which are much less in the digital, that can avoid you all these issues?
Yeah. And does Rena invest much in the digital use when they do their class surveys?
Yeah. I mean, we acquired a company in Denmark a long time ago. Today, we are used to call it Rena Digital. And they are the core business of this company was Certica, which was a management software composed by four different modules. There was the crewing, the procurements, the maintenance, and so on. And but they developed also in years other software and tools. Today we have also Certica Yachting, which is managed here in the U.S., in North U.S., from by my colleague Brandon Kurtz. So I'd like you to contact with him to discover a little bit more about this software. And they are developing software and tools to be used on board of the vessel. And it's impressive what you can find as daily support for your activity by these two digital tools. We have also a page. I invite you to visit the page. There is, if you Google Certica or Rena Digital, you will find the page where with all our portfolio and all the digital solutions that we are offering for your vessels.
Okay. And what was this? It was Rena Digital. What was the name of the other one? Certica.
Yeah, Certica is the main product that they developed and was for ships. For yachting, is Certica Yachting.
Certica with a C or an S? Certica.
With a S. Certica.
I'm going to check that out and I'll try and put it in the show notes if I can figure that out too. But I really appreciate it, Davide. How can people get a hold of you? What's your contact details? We'll put that in the show notes too.
Sure. They contact me either by email at davide.dibiasi@rena.org or by the phone number, which is 954-614-0098. Or they can contact me on LinkedIn at my product contact on LinkedIn. I invite everyone to get in contact with me to discuss about yachting as we are doing today or to address any doubt or question if they may have something for us.
Oh, David, I really appreciate it. I think you've opened up, you know, from the first meeting that I didn't know much about Rena to where we are today, talking about nuclear, talking about technology, talking about surveys, how to make them more streamlined, and then finishing off with digital applications that can make our life better so we can afford some more time to have good conversations like this, drink some coffee, and then look after our clients.
Julian, thank you for this opportunity, for the invitation to your podcast. I hope that much more people will join to you to this podcast because it is a very interesting and lovely initiative.
Grazie mille.
Bello.